Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Todd, who is here to speak with us about his experience of being a steward of practice. Welcome, Todd.
Oh, good afternoon. Hi, Jen.
Hey,
good to be here.
Thank
you for inviting me to participate.
So I thought we'd start off by, just giving a little bit of the context and, kind of letting folks know, what do those stewards of practice, what are they up to? What does that mean? So maybe you could start by giving us a little bit of background of what in particular you steward.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I've been stewarding a couple other little practices for the last couple of years. And at the beginning of this year, a new role came up that was the year-long retreat, scheduling of the website assignments, the email assignment and reminders, and the tweets, Twitter email.
Todd,
yeah.
Time out.
Yeah.
Todd, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. You were really computer sort of breaking up for me. You can hear which one of us was having that issue.
Yeah.
I could hear Todd fine, and Jen, you were breaking up a little bit there for me right at
okay.
the end.
Okay, that's much easier to solve. I think it's my headset, so I am going to change that.
Okay. Thanks, Michael.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, Todd, you hear me okay now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. So good. Everyone else heard you, but I didn't, so maybe you could take it from the top.
Sure. So at the beginning of the year, a steward,
so you had,
a list of...
I heard
of,
the part about you had a few little things in other years, and then this year...
A new role was presented, and it was the year-long retreat, scheduling of the website assignments, the email assignments and reminders, and the tweets, email assignments, email and reminder, or, I'm sorry, Twitter assignments and reminders. And of course, I love the initial knee-jerk reaction when I read the role was, that's way too big. I'm fairly computer savvy, but I don't know any of those platforms that those are established on. So of course, I went right to, don't want to, don't feel like it, don't have the expertise. And then life jumped in with, well, maybe we can learn.
Oh.
I loved it. So we put our hat in the room.
Not to derail you, Todd, but I mean,
no.
That's kind of it right there, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the gift of both being asked to and being having the privilege of being a steward of practice, because those are the places we go to, right?
Right.
Is you recognize, wait a minute, hang on one sec.
Yeah.
I think that's ego responding.
Sure.
And I think I actually want to look at this for myself. And then in drop,
yeah.
So maybe I could learn.
Yeah, and got really excited that maybe I could learn this new facet of computing that I'd never really done before. So I put my hat in the ring, and a couple weeks later, I was invited to be the steward for the year, and the training begun. And I was looking at this process of the training, because it's kind of learning to learning, is the internal mentor was right there supporting. And then I was given an external mentor, a person in Sangha, that guided me through the whole process. So, I mean, that double support, it was just win-win.
Yeah. It is win-win. It completely is win-win, right? And it's so perfect because there are those who have walked ahead of us on this path, literally and figuratively, including how to put tweets up for the year-long retreat.
Right. So, and so the whole training process was so kind and supportive and gentle. It was, nothing was live at first, so it was like, the beautiful thing was it was all held in the privileged environment. It was all done by email. Just the facts, and it was so beautifully detailed laid out that I just followed some of the process. There's about 5 modules, and then there's like 10 steps to some and 5 to others and 8 to others, and some at different times and different days. So there's a lot of moving parts, but the way it was presented, it was so manageable because it was broken down to a place where I could just go step 1 and then step 2.
Wow.
And then the outside mentor would say, if there's any questions or concerns, please email. And I did have a few places where, I'm not seeing it. I'm not getting it. I'd write in and explain what I was seeing, and then the external mentor would come back with, okay, well, here's the perspective, and try this. And it was all before it was live, so I could practice on in quotations, dummy pages or dummy processes, and then have feedback, communication about how it was going.
Mm. Wow. It's just, and you know what I just love, Todd, when you were talking about, you know, there's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's eight to this, and there's five thises, and three is that.
Right.
And so, you know, there's that initial ego reaction of like, no, that's way too big. I'm not doing that.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
if we stayed in a conversation, it would be really easy for that story to gain validity. Well, yeah, my God, ugh, there's too much to this. But what you said was it was laid out because there's only this step. And there's such broad application to that, right? That's true with everything. If our attention is on this step, it's all unbelievably multifaceted. I mean, life has got so many things going, right? Mm-hmm. But if my attention is right here and you're just doing whatever step you're doing, you're putting this tweet up for this day and you're getting that web page thing done for this thing, then it isn't overwhelming.
It isn't. And there were a few glitches. There was some things. It was really fun. It reminded me of a couple of times. It was like Sherry said on the radio show this morning, being in the kitchen at the monastery, looking down with your outdoor shoes.
Right.
So I get information back of, would you be willing to change these dates? These are the ones that are for this. And I was like, where was I when I posted those? Like, where was my
attention?
I loved it. Like, I've drifted. I was looking at one thing and doing another. I really was. I was distracted, and that was okay, because there was no.
Not only.
Well, go ahead.
Yeah, because there was no.
Well, there's no judgment or criticism, or there was no you did it wrong. It was just here's a way that you could do it the way that I've outlined in the instructions.
Exactly.
And you've just gone off the path a little here.
And the way you describe that you were with that is exactly what we're practicing for, right? Because if we're practicing to, like, you know, clamp down and make sure I always put my indoor shoes on and I never get caught with the wrong shoes, we're completely missing the point, right?
Totally.
And so that reaction that you had of, that's so great. I got to see that I was distracted.
Yeah.
I mean, that again is a huge benefit of being a steward of practice. You know, we're getting to fill these roles out of our project, our love for practice. And within that, we're receiving all this training. We're getting to see so much about our own process. We're getting to see, where was I when I posted that? That's interesting. There's some things for me to look at there. All of that.
Right. Yeah, it's been such a rich and deepening opportunity to deepen practice. And then the last part I saw was in the beginning of practice, and maybe a lot of folks go through this, I don't know, I did, it felt like I was the consumer of practice. It was really take for a long time. And then I got to a place in practice as well, how can I give back? And how can I offer practice back to all that which is beginning, kind of paying back with the same side of the coin, you know, that sort of phrasing is, and just being able to offer back to those that are coming behind me and assist those that are ahead, like you said, you know, kind of trailblazing for so long, and just being, being part of that. Sherry often says, you know, there's a lot of folks, you know, doing some heavy lifting, but if we all lift a little, it's not heavy for everybody.
That's right. That's exactly
so giving back.
Yes. That is such a good point, Todd, because I mean, this is a very small organization. Right? A very small organization in some senses, right?
Yeah.
And yet, so the only way the depth of what's offered could be offered is by folks coming on board to offer what they have to offer, right? So stewards back there doing these, I mean, imagine if that were up to, say, our web person to do all of everything you're talking about for one of our practice opportunities.
Yeah.
I mean, he already has tons, he does. But without that undergird of all these stewards to do those details, there's no way. There's no way we could offer what's offered to Sangha.
Yeah, Yeah, it's been such an honor and a pleasure to be behind, more behind the scenes of practice and supporting practice as it has supported me so incredibly generously through the decades now. And I'm just feel really honored and privileged to be able to give back in that way of being a steward and allowing life to say yes when I've been invited to participate. Just like this call, I got an email yesterday. Would you be willing to be on Good News Update? Of course. Knee-jerk reaction? Oh, I don't want to. Don't feel like it. Saw that. Wrote in yes. And then here we are.
Exactly. And here we are having a great time, right? I mean, which is the whole thing. And I just, one other thing I want to underline before we finish up is how perfect it is, that design of when we first come to practice, our full-time job, I mean, you could say it a lot of different ways, but the image that just dropped in is keeping our head above the water.
Oh,
right?
Definitely.
I mean, it is huge when we first come to practice, focusing on our own practice, It's more than a full-time job, and as you well know now, having been in practice, it's a giant gift to everyone in Sangha. I mean, we all know it. We listen to Open Air every week. Someone calls in and says, I've been listening to the show for 10 years, and I've never called in. And your heart just breaks open, and you see so much from what they're talking about. And so that's a huge role, right, being someone who's coming to practice and is – and then – that it requires all these people behind the scenes to support that, which is so perfect because at a certain point in practice, that's what our practice needs, is exactly what you're describing, to be called forth in that way to, if we want to use the word serve, that's the best word I can think of to use, that actually enhances our practice. So it's such a perfect win-win situation.
Oh, it is. It is a win-win and a huge gift to be a part of and participate and to be a part of something bigger than the little quotations, the little ego, the little, sniveling, griping eye.
Exactly. But it's all in response to everything. Is I don't want to. I don't feel like it.
always. So thank you so much, Adeep Yasho, and thank you again for having me on tonight. I appreciate it. All right.
All right.
Good
Thanks
night.
So much. Take good care. Good night.
Thanks, Jen. Thanks, Michael.
And Michael, we'll turn it over to you on Ashwini.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Todd. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Ashwini. Welcome, Ashwini.
Hey, Michael.
Hey. I enjoyed that conversation a lot.
Me too. Michael, are you hearing some noise in the background?
Yes, I did. Let me just check here. Thought I muted everyone. Let's just see here.
Well, it seems to have stopped now. So.
Yeah, okay. Now I got everybody muted, I think.
Wonderful. Well, I enjoyed it too. And you know, the thing that I most enjoyed about that, Michael, is the enthusiasm, right? The delight, the high energy, the engagement. And that is the result of not being shut down by ego and participating so generously and wholeheartedly in something that we love, right?
Yes.
In the support of something that we love.
Yes. What dropped in as you were describing that is that supposedly I'm serving, but it feels like I'm being served, actually, because I'm getting so much out of it. So
I think it's a cherry quote someone is saying, right, that a good deal is one in which everybody feels like they got the best deal.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I have one announcement for today, Ashwini.
Okay.
Join Sangha in the practice of recognizing ego's divisive tactics and returning to the joy of the oneness of all things at the Living in Gassho workshop next Sunday, August 23rd. Registration is required by 12 noon Pacific this Friday, August 21st.
Great. Wonderful series of Sunday workshops.
It is a wonderful series. It's a real blessing. And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to get in the queue today to talk with Ashwini, you can make a show by pressing *6 and then 1. And a conversation on one topic in about 5 minutes is great. Okay, you ready, Ashwini?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go. First caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Emily from Seattle.
Hey, Emily.
Hi, Emily.
Hi. I was just tired of listening to the voices talk me out of getting in the queue, and just in general, getting tired of them talking at me. So I just wanted to put myself in the queue.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, you're right.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
there's some story like that I still believe, and I'm going with my feelings. I see how I'm going with my feelings, that this is going to be terrible, like a terrible experience, like not necessarily talking, but just waiting in anticipation, like either I'm going to have a terrible experience because I'll be tense the whole time, or I can just relax and just, you know, stretch or lay down and have a nice time. That feels so real to me that it's just so hard to get past that.
Mm-hmm. So if I'm following what you're saying, the conversation is about either be tense and sort of in this limbo of expectation of what's going to go wrong, or relax. But you recognize that both of those suggestions that you believe are simply the voices talking to you, right? Attempting to control your experience.
Yeah, yes. And they most of the time they do control my experience, because I really feel that way. That's a real feeling.
Mm-hmm. And so I think you said something really important, that what you're getting to see is it's not that you're believing the story, it's believing your feelings. And so it seems like there's awareness around that, right? So once we recognize how we're being controlled, then the process is to bring presence to the experience, so that we are aware that we're in that conversation, but also to very consistently choose what the voices are telling us not to choose. Because we've got to train to not believe it, right? And there's no process other than not believing them to stop believing them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? At some point, we've got to get to the place of that the only option left after you've seen everything about what you've seen about it is to stop listening to the voices.
Yeah, that feeling thing is tough, because I guess I always thought, oh, that is so honest to listen to my feelings and be in touch with my feelings. And
Emily, would you be an Enya type 4 by any chance?
Oh, I think so, yeah.
Yes, right? I mean, it's a very classic identity for a 4 Enya type, right? That personality of somehow or the other, I'm feeling this way, and that's real, and my experience is so different, and there's something special about what's going on for me, and right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Trusting your feelings,
your sensitivity, and because it's an identity, right?
Yeah.
Which gets fed by trusting and believing in your feelings. And so, you know, we say this a lot in practice, that part of what we train is, I mean, especially at the monastery, right? You do something, you keep your commitment regardless of how you feel. The focus of the attention, the focus of the training and the practice becomes losing interest in your feelings. Doing what you commit to do regardless, what you keep your agreements regardless of how you feel, and you practice that with an intensity of focus because there's no other way of unraveling that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so just I'm going to get in the queue all the time, okay, and I'll watch what happens.
Right.
So notice how I feel and not give that importance that I'm used to giving it.
Right. Or another way of saying that is to redirect the attention, right? You and I love training this way because it's training, right? So you set yourself a whole bunch of structures that allow you to know that you're going to do something regardless of how you feel about it. It's exactly what Todd was talking about, right? Invitation comes in, I don't feel like it. Well, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sign up for this. I'm going to say yes. Yes is my answer to anything that I'm being asked to do. And to do it is what I will do. I'm not going to indulge the conversation about my feeling any which way. And all the support structures that I create for my practice is to keep an awareness that I'm not going with what I feel. That I'm interested in losing interest in the conversation and in my feelings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. It's time for the warrior, right?
Let's say that again.
It's time for the warrior energy in
the
practice.
Warrior, yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. About even for those little things.
It's exactly right. As you said, I'm tired of being pushed around by a voice in my head. I'm tired of having my experience be controlled. And so that energy, that movement, that I don't want this anymore in my life, is what fuels us to practice not having it in our lives, of doing whatever it takes to stop having that experience, to stop that suffering.
Yeah, because I can feel it getting in there, like kind of pulling me away a little bit from practice, and then just kind of little by little, I don't know, getting my attention. And as I was saying earlier, like talking to me about, oh, now you're not participating, now you're distracted, like when it's the thing distracting me, and then...
Yeah. Right. So it talks you out of wholeheartedly participating, right? Don't get in the queue.
Yeah.
It's a leak of energy, right? And then you're told that you're not being wholehearted, and so then don't participate. And it's, as we say, right, we can recognize ego signatures in how much we suffer, and that the trajectory of anything ego does is to either get our attention or get us to quit what brings us here. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, so I was just seeing that happening and wanting to
get
that out
there. Yes, and to put yourself
there
in the queue and with Sangha and in the conversation of why it is that you want to be here, right? So that you're not in the conversation of why you don't want to be here.
Yeah. And that fuzzy head, that conversation, is that just the conversation when it's saying, oh, you're not paying attention, you're not trying your best, which feels sort of true when I'm a little bit removed, but
yeah,
I don't know.
Well,
that's a very important point,
right? That's what you're building your awareness of what it feels like to be in the place you get stuck, believing the story.
Mm-hmm.
It feels foggy. The words are, you're not really paying attention. You're really not participating fully, right? And so the karmic pull is to move into and believe and engage with that thought stream. And your practice becomes, every time the voices say, I'm not paying attention, I'm not here, I'm not wholly participating, and I feel foggy, or that foggy sensation, I'm going to redirect my attention to re-engaging here with what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to mm-hmm. pay attention, not believe that I'm not paying attention and go with that, but to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. The two things that someone said to me once, right? The antidote to boredom is to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
And the antidote to exhaustion is wholeheartedness.
Mm.
So you re-engage. Not go that, oh gosh, what a horrible person I am. Because, yeah, it's true, I'm not paying attention. And I'll never be good at this. And what's the point? And, oh my gosh.
Yeah, but just that moment, this moment right here, just come back.
That's right. Yeah.
To this moment right here.
You're telling me I'm not paying attention? Thank you. I'll go back to paying attention.
Yeah. Oh, that's helpful.
Yeah, and that laughter helps too, right? Because that's the only thing we're left with. If we take it seriously, then we're once more back in that place Jen was talking about. Oh, I'm going to batten down the hatches and effort myself and will myself to being here. It doesn't work.
Yeah, it gets so heavy and heady.
Precisely, yeah. Heavy and heady. Another two fabulous words to know that we're in conditioned mind.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, well, thanks.
Thank you. I can connect. Sense the energy coming back, right?
Yeah, I feel it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
Thanks, Emily.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Emily. And Ashwini, what dropped in as you were having that conversation is that conditioning uses everything to derail me, to take me off track. And so, as you were talking about, that can bring out the warrior energy in me to say, no, I'm going to be here, I'm going to be on track, and I'm going to be here and present. And that's exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that we have to train ourselves, right, Michael, to make that movement. So I pick up the recorder and I talk myself into being here. Or I get in the queue and actually have the process so that I can get here, right? These are movements that we can practice. Because sometimes I'm not able to get on the show and talk to someone who facilitates me from attention on conditioned mind to being disidentified and being here. And so I learn that skill for myself with the recorder or with whatever structures that I support my practice with.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, exactly. And we have another caller, Ashwini.
Excellent.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Hi. Hey, Michael. Hey, Ashwini. How's it going?
Good. I'm sorry, I didn't catch the name.
Oh, my name is Leith. Sorry, I'm just getting outside to talk to you.
Okay.
Can you still hear me?
Yes, I can still hear you.
Great. Okay, so I was facing a lot of resistance to call. I was actually really hesitant to put myself in the queue, but apparently, it happened. I mean, I'm here. I'm talking to you, so that's amazing.
That's victory over the voices, right? Over that
right,
resistance.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's my experience.
Yes.
So, I had a question about pursuing an ambition. So, I keep hearing voices that tells me not to leave my current major or career, leave my current path that I'm doing in school and change that and go and do something else that I enjoy. And I've been in a lot of trouble kind of like seeing if that's a voice that wants to distract me or is it an authentic belief. I've been dealing with that for a long time, and my response is always that you know, I've chipped in on this major already, and I'm doing a lot of studying, and I'm, you know, I'm like in my third year of this major, so I think it would not be perfect for me to just leave that and go and do something else. It's just there is still the hesitation. Yes.
Do you have that sense of the process that you're in other places? And what I mean by that is, do you find yourself debating between two choices in other area, in other content areas of your life?
Do I find that in other areas of my life? Is that a question? Sometimes,
So, you know, it's because what is interesting from an awareness practice perspective is really identifying how we believe that there is a right choice to make, and that if we spend enough time looking at the pros and the cons and weighing up the pros and the cons and having the conversation about that content over and over and over again, somehow or the other, we're going to get to the right solution, right? And what call that a duality. Do I do this or do I not do this? So you make a decision to do something on one side of that duality, and you watch the conversation give you all of the arguments on the other side. So now you make the decision on the other side, and then it stacks up all the arguments on the opposite side, and you find yourself going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth without making, without any resolution, right?
True, that's
and so,
exactly what tends to happen.
Pardon?
Yeah, this is exactly how I, how it's been unfolding in my life.
And so part of what we look at in awareness practice is how the structure of suffering gets maintained and how your energy is going in this feeling I project. You feel bad being caught in this vortex of indecision and unable to be present to what you are doing, right? Enjoying your classes or, you know, being present to something that you are, you and you, whatever it is, you enjoy this, you like participating in that, you have an insight about it, and there's an engagement with life that happens completely outside of this decision-making process that's just going on and on and on and on in your mind.
Right?
Yeah. And so...
yeah.
Go ahead.
It just feels like I don't want to make the wrong decision for myself, and that's kind of like main argument that I
feel with. Precisely, but it assumes that it assumes that you can make a decision, that there is a right and wrong in the universe, right? It's a lot of things that we just take without examination as true.
Right?
And so part of what we look at, part of what you're really perhaps just looking at is what you want to do is drop that conversation. I don't want to be constantly trying to determine whether I should stay or should go, or is this the right decision or the wrong decision. I want to be here for my life. Because if I'm lost in that conversation, that dualistic conversation, I'm not here for the life that I'm living. And if there's any information for me that will give me some direction based on being here for it, I'm not going to be there for it because I'm lost in trying to decide which is the right thing to do.
Right. Yeah, definitely experienced that today when calling. I was debating myself a lot, and I was like, well, let me just put myself in the queue and see what happens.
Precisely. What a fabulous process insight, right? What's the worst that's going to happen? I actually don't even know that, right? That's what the conversation actually prevents us from doing, from finding out,
right?
I get talked into the debate, so I never have a real experience where I get actual information about this decision I'm trying to make.
Exactly.
So now you have the experience of putting yourself in the queue wasn't really such a bad thing. I don't bite. You were articulate. We had a great conversation, right?
It's
real information on, okay, well, should I put myself in the queue or not? It's not a theoretical or abstract sort of discussion in your head. Now you actually learned something.
Right, definitely.
It takes it out of the realm of right or wrong, right? If all we're doing is finding out. If you can't make a mistake, which when you're here, nothing is a mistake, right? That's the experience you're having. I didn't make the wrong decision by putting myself in the queue. I made a decision from which I was able to determine something. And so it's never a mistake because I always find out something, right?
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that, definitely.
So what we learn to do in practice is really redirect the attention from the conversation and get here. Because whether or not you've spent 3 years making this investment and therefore that's something you don't enjoy or you do enjoy, or all of that's still a conversation in your head. The fact is if you're here for every moment of whatever it is that you're doing, it's quite irrelevant what you're doing, because you're attempting to be here for it.
Yeah.
Changes the way we look at things, right?
It is, yeah. I mean, as I'm talking to you, I keep hearing other arguments, like, when are you going to pursue the things that you like, and how,
right.
I mean, and it's really vague. I don't know.
Oh, well, that's a good
trying my best not to engage.
Yeah, because it is vague, right? And I don't know how familiar you are with our practice, Lid, but that's really what we're bringing attention and awareness to. As long as I'm listening to that conversation, I'm not here for my life, right? Because it is vague. It is vague on standards. It's vague on outcomes. It's vague on what you should do, vague on predictions, vague on everything. It's just constantly there attempting to get your attention.
Yes, definitely.
And so the practice is to have your attention here and not on that conversation.
Yeah, I'll do my best. I'll try my best to not engage in that conversation. Maybe I'll see what's the result of that. And
absolutely. And there are so many tools. I mean, if you have the interest to look at meditation or on our website for recording and listening as a tool that assists you to redirect the attention,
right.
We've got books on how to do that. And so it's such a wonderful exploration that you're on to start to see that the problem is not in the content, but that the suffering is in the process of having your attention on a conversation that's always attempting to distract you from being present to your life and having an experience of your life.
Yes, definitely. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. Me too.
Thank you, Mark.
Well, don't be a stranger.
Sure. I'll call back.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you. All right.
Please do, and let us know how you're doing.
Yeah, definitely. Goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Leith. And Ashwini, what I got from that conversation is to be willing and open to having an experience and finding out, well, I could call in and what would that be like and what would I learn? And well, here I am calling in.
Oh, yeah. Willing, yes, and open to having an experience.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Fabulous. And Ashwini, we are going to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll come back and talk with more callers.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Ashwini, we have more callers here.
Excellent.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi. Hi. It's Anna from Seattle.
Hi, Anna.
Hi, Anna. How are you?
Hi.
What are you seeing?
I guess I'm calling to report back. I guess in itself a challenge to me to report back on something I've gotten guidance on many times before. Let's see. So I'm seeing a lot, you know, in just kind of dating this guy. I'm looking at a process of feelings of rejection. I'm looking at kind of working on the process about feeling resented, which is really a great thing because I felt like that with me and my mom's relationship a lot, like just looking at resentment and how it's entangled with love and, you know, back and forth and then never feeling safe in the relationship. But I never felt like I could really work out a lot, or I didn't really know how to work with the resentment thing with my mom. But with this guy now, it's easier because he acknowledges that he has the feeling. So there is, you know, we can communicate about it, and it feels good for processing that thing with resentment. Then I'm looking at the process of comparison. And yeah, I don't know what to report back. I think I've seen a lot, but I don't really remember it right now.
Well, it sounds like the most important report is that you're practicing with it, right?
Yeah.
It's watching what comes up for you around all of these things in this particular relationship, and some of the things that you're noticing are all this comparison. So we know that that's an ego. It's an ego bamboozle that allows us to either feel superior or inferior, or at least more of ourselves. It maintains our identity, right? However, we experience ourselves as ego, and so it maintains ego. And so then there's something around resentment, and I think you said something around rejection as well.
Rejection, yes.
Yeah.
And
are you practicing with the recording about it, Anna? Bringing all of what is going on for you to the recording practice?
Yes. Yes. I yeah, I guess not every day I notice right now. but yeah, I do. But it's, yeah, it seems like always the same thing, you know.
That's good news, isn't it?
What?
That's good news that it's always the same thing, because if it were a different thing every single time, that would be really, really hard. But if it's the one thing, then that's easier, right? Because we know what it is, and then we can create the structures and supports we need to assist us with working with that thing.
Yeah.
And so what is that one thing?
To direct attention and come back here.
To just drop that conversation, whatever it is, to redirect attention and come back here. And it's amazing, right? The experience of rejection and resentment and comparison don't exist in the here now.
And I go from, in that relationship, from complete attachment to complete detachment. And often there isn't a thing in between detachment and attachment. So, which I think what's in between is grief for me, which I often don't. And just the what's missing is the connection to myself, you know, or that's what ego is saying, and that's what it feels like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you oscillate between attachment and detachment, and in between is grief. That's what you recognize as that process. And for you, grief is a lack of connection to yourself.
No, grief is not a lack of connection to myself. I meant well, sometimes I feel grief, which is good, which makes me feel more connected to myself. I think.
So would you say that the difference between the attachment and the oscillation between the attachment and the detachment is that place of it feels like being in conditioned mind in different ways, right? So when you're here and in touch with what you feel, then there's the feeling of connection to yourself. So grief is a tangible experience of being in touch with your feelings, as opposed to the detachment, which is not being in touch with your feelings at all, or attachment, which is being completely in conditioned mind, because attachment is mental, right?
It's really helpful to be able to process it with this guy and to talk it a lot through. And it's funny because like a couple of guys before, I think I talked to Cherry about it, and she said, "Yeah, you might not marry this guy, but you know, you will have a relationship. You know, you want a relationship. You know, whatever form it takes." I remember that guidance, and it was just so funny to me because I don't really have a relationship with the, you know, two guys before, but this one. So it just made me think, "Wow, yeah, Cherry's guidance is like." I have to listen back to the guidance from a few months ago and apply it now, you know, because the guidance is like out of time for me. Timing is
it's wonderful to keep that in awareness, right? To that your practice is to be in guidance in guidance all the time. So to be able to see how something that you've been given guidance around can be referenced to and applied to your current situation or any situation you're in. And that process of, okay, well, I can see how this applies here, can't quite see how this applies here, but the process is to be in that continuous inquiry of how does the guidance apply?
Yeah. Yes.
Being open to, or being open to how the situation reveals the application of the guidance.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And be open to seeing, you know, well, what did that mean? And where does that take me? And how is it applicable? And yeah, it's a very dynamic process to be practicing with everything that goes on for you, especially around relationships.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Is there more?
No, I don't think so.
Well, and good job on not letting those voices keep you from doing the hard thing of reporting back.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Good job.
Good job indeed. Exactly.
Okay.
Thanks, Anna.
Well, thank you. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Anna. And Ashwini, I appreciated that conversation, and what dropped in is the fact that I'm practicing, I'm showing up, I'm practicing, I'm even reporting back on the guidance I received before, and I'm staying open to guidance in my practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think the point you're making, right, Michael, is that we are told that we're not practicing most of the time.
Yes. Yes. Yes, exactly. And we have another caller here.
Great.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Kate. I'm calling from Canada. I actually called in last week for the first time after listening for many, many years, and I didn't actually intend to call in today. It was just all of a sudden the right time for the radio show, and then I was here, and then I've been having such a hard day. I've been trying to call all of my tools in, and so it just seemed like here's another practice opportunity to call in. And to,
yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's amazing how when we are having a hard day and we set ourselves on the path of supporting ourselves, how the support shows up, right? So here you are on the queue.
Yeah. I'm going through a breakup with my husband of 20 mm-hmm. years, and mm-hmm. I'm really trying to see the growth and the transformation potential. And then I also, like today, just get so stuck in this feeling, this story of rejection and unlovable, and it's a feeling, so it's almost like it feels even harder than a story, because a story I can hear and go, okay, that's a story, but it's like there's this feeling that conveys all of that information to me, mm-hmm. if that makes any sense.
Yes, it's such a you're saying such a powerful thing, right, Kate? One is, you know what it's like to be in a story, because you can look at it and go, well, that's just a story. It's harder when there is not language, but it's a rush of sensations that are feelings that mean something, right? Because it feels a lot more real than hearing a voice in your head tell you something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's it.
Let me ask you this, Kate. Mm-hmm. It is hard, isn't it? It's not that you're making up. what it is that you're going through. There's a terrible sense of loss and grief and having to let go. Someone there, someone is having a hard time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a process of letting go. So we do, you know, if we love anyone, loss is something that we experience.
Yeah. And I've just noticed that there's a place of grieving and of pain and loss that feels somehow more like expansive and manageable if it's like a growing, you know, it's the pain of change and transformation and life. It's just like it's just this part of the process of life. And then there's
a human being is sentient, right? And he has feelings.
Yeah.
And so it's really, you know, when we look at when someone comes to you, let's say your best friend comes to you and is having a hard time, you attempt to comfort that person. You attempt to be with that person. You attempt to empathize with that person and their grief. You don't go, you know, the spiritually best thing to do is to think about the extent of growth and transformation that you're going through and how 5 years down the line you're going to think that this is the best thing that happened to you, right?
Yeah.
And that's the distinction, right? That what whoever it is that has a hard time doesn't need to suppress her feelings or repress her experience. She just needs to have it.
Yeah. I think I must be scared of the fullness of that sadness, maybe.
Mm. Well, that's interesting, right? Because that would be interesting to explore, because that would be a story. You don't know that.
Yeah.
Right? The fear that you are going to be subsumed by this experience, that we might want to look at and go, if you converted that to an ego conversation, if you are able to be completely there with what's going on for you, you'll probably discover that there is an intensity of emotion which passes.
Yeah.
And that you'll find out that you can actually stay with that experience, withstand all of those sensations, and you're all right in the midst of that pain. So what the ego voice wants to tell you is, oh, you're not adequate to your experience, so don't go there. But what that's really saying is about itself, right? It won't survive if you find out that you have the ability to be there with yourself through any intensity of emotion.
Yeah. It's true. I really feel that. The discomfort of the feeling of the pain. Like there's the feeling of it, and then there's the something that's trying to get away from it that wants to. No, I don't. I can't have. I don't want this feeling. Like make this feeling stop.
Yeah.
Like it.
Yeah. And so what you're bringing is such a lot of awareness to that, right? Because what I know you're going to be in the recording and listening class this coming Friday. But that's when you pick up the recorder, right? Because when you're talking about that discomfort and not wanting to face it, what you're doing is being with what you're experiencing, rather than it telling you what to avoid, right?
Mm-hmm.
What you're practicing is bringing into conscious awareness everything those voices are saying. And being with yourself as you feel the pain. You could say to your recorder, I'm actually, well, something seems to be afraid of this feeling of discomfort. And then it doesn't become a bogey in the head. It's something that is being expressed and being taken out of that conditioned place of believing it to putting it out there. And you can listen to it and go, really?
Yeah. Yeah, I see that. Yeah, that's helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, I feel like those when they're when it's emotion like that, I do sometimes feel like I can just ride it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's when it becomes that, just this different pain of like, I guess it's the story. It's just, like I said, it's just this very subtle story, but it's like you're rejected, you're unlovable. There's this mm-hmm. other message in the pain.
Yeah.
And then, and that is what it feels so hard to.
And it feels
like,
hard.
It sucks everything out of me. And then I don't have
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's such a good observation, too, because it really gives you a way to work with it, right? That when, as soon as you start to recognize that it's not overt, that the pain is from an implied message, you can pick up your recorder again and say, what it feels like this pain is about rejection. So I want to talk about why I feel rejected, or was I truly rejected, or what's really going on here? And and then as you talk about it, it goes from being subliminal and implied and able to get to you to being in conscious awareness where you can look at it and really talk about it and look at it and say, is that really true? And is that really my experience? And let me examine that, or let me feel that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's not hidden.
Yeah. And it feels really true, but I guess there's some, I do also, my mentor probably has something to say helpful around that, if I can just open the conversation. I think I'm almost scared of the conversation because it feels, you were, like, I feel like the response I'm going to get is like, you were rejected, like, you are.
Uh-huh.
But,
right. But again, you know, Kate, if we're going in this direction, you want to have the experience of what the mentor will say and see what compassion will respond to that question. Because if we go from what self-hate would respond to the question, you're definitely going to get, you were rejected, get over it, right?
Yeah.
And so to have the experience of allowing compassion to be there, in that you can only know what compassion will say when you're actually in compassion. Right.
Yeah.
Everything else is a projection from conditioned mind.
Yes. Yeah.
And once you get to that place, you can have the exploration of, because as you said, you're rejected is an interpretation of an event with a judgment attached to it. Right. And so then when you look at, if somebody says that and someone believes it, then you feel the pain of what the message is. And so then you can explore and allow her to talk about why does it feel so painful to have that message delivered? What does it mean for her? Mm-hmm. What does it say about her? And is that really true?
Yeah.
You start to unpack the label for the impact.
Yeah.
And go, why is this really causing my suffering? Right? Where's the pain in it?
What's the deeper, messages there? That
Right. And that's exactly why you're not allowed to go there, right? Because you've got to stay on the surface of the message being vague and the pain being real versus the examination of what's going on for you at a level of, what's going on for me is what's going on for me, but I don't have to suffer over it. I can be in that relationship of looking at it and being with it and having the totality of the experience.
Yeah, instead of just being a kind of, victim of it is what kind of comes up.
A victim of it without any information, right?
Yeah. Thank you. It's really helpful.
You're most welcome. Take care.
Thank you so much.
Talk to you this Friday.
Okay. Looking forward to it. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Kate. Another great conversation, Ashwini. And we have 4 minutes to the hour here. Ashwini, shall we wrap it up, or would you like to talk with...
Well, let's try for the 4 minutes, and I'll try. We'll be conscious of ending on time.
Okay. Okay, good. All right, next caller. You are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Kate from New York.
Oh, wow.
Hey, Kate.
Another Kate. Hi, Kate.
Hi there. Hi, Michael. Hi, Ashwini.
Hi.
Hi, Sangha. Yeah, just wanted to get in the queue and talk about an experience I had about a week ago, which was I had been listening to a lot of archives of Open Air, and I heard this one where Sherry was giving a guidance around a member of Sangha wanted to do something but was not doing it. Mm-hmm. And the guidance was, well, you're focusing on the fact that you're not doing it. Mm-hmm. And instead, what about focusing on what you love about the thing, why you're called to even want to do it, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. All that you love about it, and sort of grow the appreciation for mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. And so I listened to this conversation, and then a few days later I had to make a video for something, and I really was dreading it. And I caught myself in the dread, because the ego had this whole story about how it was going to unfold. It was going to take a lot of time, I was going to have to do a lot of takes of it, et cetera, et cetera. Long story short, I caught that, and I did some recording and listening around it, and instead focused on what I loved about this opportunity and being able to play and put this music out to a new audience, and that was being captured on the video. And I did it. I set the camera up and I did it in one take and sent it off.
Well, that would be we chalked down to a tremendous practice success, right, Kate? In
yeah.
every dimension. So there's a video coming up. This makes us religious, right? You hear mm-hmm. that one recording from the radio show that's really going to assist you in this process. You find yourself paying attention, catching the exact process that was talked about, redirecting your attention and approaching it with love.
Mm-hmm.
And presto, right? What shows up is a one-take
yeah.
video of perfection.
It was, like, shocking.
Yes.
It was shockingly easy and fun and the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's really, it's the reason we keep saying do the practice,
mm-hmm.
right? If you do the practice, it does work. And you did the practice and it did work, right? So
mm-hmm.
don't think about the dread of it. Redirect your attention to what you love about it. And all that energy comes back to you, and the energy of love makes the recording. Of course
mm-hmm.
it will be perfect. Because
mm-hmm.
I project that there's no judgment that we drop from love to judgment to go, okay, that video was awful. Which you could do.
Well,
but
yeah.
You chose, and if you caught that, I project you would make a recording of what you loved about the video rather
mm-hmm.
than look from the lens of judgment, and we'd stay in that process of what you practice is what you have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just really like a one-to-one. You know, I had the other thing just, and then I know it's 9 o'clock, but the thing is, when I heard this archive and I heard that conversation, I listened to it like over just that conversation over and over again to really, because I could see Sherry laid it out so perfectly, the what you
mm-hmm.
practice is what you have.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a way in which I felt like there was a lot of resistance to it, so I just kept making myself listen to it over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the opportunity
yeah.
for the practice came like mm-hmm. right on the heels of it. So
there was
this element too of, I guess, practicing with my hair on fire. Around it.
Right? Absolutely. It's the same process, right? Life recognized and resonated with the guidance that's going to work for you. Mm-hmm. And so then there is the awareness of resistance and that continuous process of life encouragement that you listen to, which is, I'm going to keep listening because mm-hmm. there's something in it for me. I'm going to keep listening. That's how we go up against that resistance, transcend that resistance, and then that is available in awareness because we practice with it so much.
Mm-hmm.
It's all part of the same process of being successful that you're talking about, right, Kate?
Mm-hmm.
So that was love, right? That was love. How do I make this work? Not how do I focus on the fact that I don't want to listen to it.
Yeah,
I'm
going to
ignore my feelings and mm-hmm. keep it for return with Emily. I don't care what I feel like. I'm just mm-hmm. going to listen. Because there's something in it, something here for the authenticity that's hungry for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so thank you guys so much. It's 9:02.
Thank you,
Kate. Yeah, gotcha.
Well, thanks for keeping us on track.
Yep.
Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Kate. Another Kate, and I love that repetition, Ashwini. I just love that repetition over and over. Yeah. So helpful.
And it's the antidote to resistance.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. And so thank you, Ashwini, for a great show and all of our callers and all of our listeners. And go happy.
Thank you, Michael. Go happy.
Okay, bye.